Welcome to the Life on Purpose podcast. I'm your host, Amy Debrick, and I'm so glad you're here. As you know, purpose gives you confidence. Confidence that you know what you're doing and why you're doing it, even if you haven't figured out how to do it yet. Purpose provides certainty that what you're doing does matter. And when you act with purpose, you project strength, authority, and authenticity. Because of that, I am so excited to share season 4 with you and all the tools, resources, and shared wisdom that will help you build and keep the confidence and self-esteem you need to be brave, and also to live the life God has for you. Being confident about our purpose helps us stay in our lane and eliminates comparisons. Now, if you are looking for some one-on-one coaching to help break down self-doubt and rebuild your self-esteem, be sure to schedule a free discovery call with me today. You can access that link on my website at amydebrick.com. But for now, let's get started. Well, welcome everyone this morning on the Life on Purpose podcast. I am so excited to talk with my friend, my new friend, Sue Donaldson. So welcome, Sue.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy. I love your accent.
It's so funny because, you know, when you're from Central New York, you don't think you have an accent. You think Right. Everybody else does.
Well, I'm from Central California, Central Coast of California. So of course, everybody else has an accent. We just have a tan.
That's right. I mean, I can't even believe the sun is out here. It's always hit or miss, but we do get some sort of summer. So that's always a positive thing. But well, before we dig into our conversation, let me just give the listeners a little bit of background and then I'll kind of let you fill in all the blanks. I'll give them the highlights. You know, you are a seasoned speaker, author, blogger of Welcomed Heart, and also a podcaster. That's where you and I met, and podcasts of Living a Legacy Life, which we're going to talk a lot about today. So if there's anything in between that you want to kind of fill in the blanks for the listeners to get to know you a little bit better, please do.
I'm a late bloomer. Didn't get married till I was 35. My mother had given up. She was the one who would step into the Jordan River, you know, and then the water would go up. So she'd heard that Bible study and she said, Sue, I am going to go open a wedding account, a bank account for your wedding. And I said, Mom, I'm not even dating. And she goes, yes, but I'm stepping into the river. And so like 10 years later, when I got engaged and picked out my wedding dress, she said it was too expensive. And I said, well, where's my money? And she said, I spent it. And I love to tell that story because women, mothers laugh. I said, a mother can only have so much faith. But anyway, got married at 35 finally to a stalwart man from Iowa. And that is very different from a stalwart man from anywhere else. And we're still married. 34 years later, and we have three grown daughters, and they are a delight, and they keep us at the bank and on our knees.
I love that. I read that, I think, in your bio, and I thought that was the cutest description, but I think that's amazing. Well, I love all your ministry work, and I especially love the title of your podcast, which is Living a Legacy Life, because I think that and the older I get, and that's probably just, you know, you think about that more as the legacy that we are leaving behind and what that looks like and the intentionality that really has to go behind it. And I was sharing with you a little bit before we even hit record that I have done this study a few different times that James, off of a book James Dobson wrote years ago called Your Legacy. And one of the things he talks about is discipleship and what a disciple actually is and how it's, you know, somebody who surrenders to Jesus Christ and chooses to follow him in all areas of his life. But part of disciple making is mentoring and equipping others, including our family. And so I think you do a beautiful job with this in your podcast and in your ministry work. And also think it's really interesting. And I read this recently that there's such a distinct difference between leaving a inheritance and leaving a heritage. And so I wanted to talk a little bit to you about that today and really what kind of led you to even create this podcast? What was your heart behind it? And why did you feel like it was something really important?
Well, there's nothing really serendipitous when you're a Christian, but it was serendipity or whatever, like an accident, how it happened. I was in my small group Bible study. My husband and I attend a great group of about six couples, and we meet every other week and sharing prayer requests. One night, a fellow older than myself was sharing about his mom, who was beginning to lose her senses, you know, her mind a little bit. where she wasn't making sense. And so I just said, Dan, how old is your mom? And he said, 87. And at the time, Amy, I was 66 and a half. It was in the January. And I, you know how you hear someone talk and then you start immediately going into your head and you almost like blank out what the rest of their words are. And I've told them the story much later. But I thought to myself, oh my gosh, I am going to be 67 in 6 months. And that means I only have 20 years left, possibly. You know, we never know if we die crossing the street, whatever. But I possibly only have 20 years left of cognitive viability where I could even explain what that is or spell it or pronounce it. Cognitive viability, those are big girl words. And I do have a master's degree. I just don't remember what it's in. But the fact is I thought 20 years, you can see the end. You can see the end of the race when you're my age. Now you're a lot younger and prettier and all that. But when I am almost 60, well, I guess I was almost 67, thinking 20 years is not much. Cause when you look back and go, wow, I can't remember when my kids were born hardly, you know, how fast time goes, right? So your podcast theme, live on purpose. Of course we live on purpose. We're called by God to live the way he wants us to live every single day. But I somehow about that little encounter with my friend, Dan, I started inviting friends that I respected, younger and older, for coffee. And I would just ask them a few questions like, so what legacy are you leaving right now? Not after you die. And some were kind of startled and some were so humble that they can't think of anything besides the fact, well, I pray for my children. Well, that is the main thing that you do for your kids, right? So I started making lists. And at the same time, I was working with a marketer who was helping me with my website. And she said, Sue, you need to start a podcast. And I thought, well, what better thing to talk about than how are you living today? Not after you die. Now, my mom was a funny person and she would walk around the house. She collected china and china cabinets and she had more than one. And so she would go whenever we were home. She'd say, okay, I had two sisters and two brothers. Please put your name on the back of the piece of china that you want after I die. And we would just roll our eyes because number one, we didn't think they were going to die. And they didn't until they're in their 90s. Like it was time by the time they died. But anyway, we didn't care about some of those things, right? But I do have a talk on a mother's legacy. And it's true. It's the heritage my folks gave me. Now we have a rocking chair that I ended up getting. Every once in a while, my brother will go, now who got the rocking chair? It was me. I put my name on it. that is something that a legacy can be. But most people, secular people, maybe even some Christians think, a legacy is my stock portfolio or I'm going to help my kids buy a house after I die or even not. So that's the story behind it. I'm going to add one more thing. I know I'm talking a lot, but I'll add one more thing that's helped me for years. I have a mentor. I've had her for about, 26 years. She's only a few years older, but she got married at 18. So there's the wisdom, right? She's had kids longer and grandkids and all that. But she's a godly woman. And I will go to her. I've gone to her throughout the years and say, hey, Lori, should I do this or not? Like I've been asked to do something. Start a new project, usually having to do with ministry. And I'll say, should I do this? And she'll say, well, she doesn't usually tell me what to do too much, but she'll say this. Well, if it has to do with the word or with people, it lasts forever. Because that's what the Bible says. So if it does, then yes, go ahead and do it. You're not doing a wrong thing because that's why it's such a comfort, I think, to a young mom to know that they're leaving the legacy right now because it has to do with their little people, you know, who are tugging on their shirt tails and who are driving them crazy and not letting them get sleep. But as you build into people, like you are doing by just inviting a neighbor for coffee, you are leaving a heritage of God's love in their life and that lasts forever.
I love that. That's so true. That's so true. But I do think that we get confused sometimes. And I don't even necessarily think it's purposely, you know, we just think, oh, it's more of an inheritance, but really it is the heritage and what we're creating today that's going to last. And So what would you say to a listener out there? How could they, let's say this is a new thought to them. Maybe they haven't really been thinking about it, you know? How can we encourage them to make the most of the opportunity that they have right now in their life with their family?
Well, first of all, I'd like them to make a list of what they're doing right now. What they're doing right now that has to do with the word and people. And then they will come away comforted because they are doing it. Right. If they are, if they have children, if they have friends, they're doing it. Now, does that mean I always treat my husband like he is building into Alexi? No. So I'm always reevaluating like, oh, I blew it there. You know, I just had a big birthday party, my 70th, and all three of my daughters gave me these huge tributes, which were so wonderful. I said, well, I could, don't give me a funeral because that's it. Right. But by the next day, they were irritated with me. I mean, you know, it's just like, that's real life, right? Mom, I go, wait, go read that thing again where you said all these wonderful things about me. But to encourage someone who hasn't thought about it before, just reflect on what we've just said and go to the Lord. You know what it's like because of the things that you have learned through fear and mistrust, and you've turned it into trust. And now your legacy is telling other people that, hey, you don't have to live trapped. You don't have to live trapped. Does that mean you never live trapped? No, Amy, I'm sure you struggle with it every once in a while. So really, it's not to make people feel guilty that they're not living a legacy life. It's to have them go to God daily and say, Lord, who do you want me to affect for the kingdom today? And then wait for someone to knock at the door. And if no one knocks at the door, you go knock on someone else's door. Do not waste an opportunity. And I've been praying for my neighborhood, this neighborhood. We've lived in this neighborhood for over 30 years. And rather than some of the old ones getting saved, they moved and we got some new young ones in and they're getting saved. And it's kind of interesting to me. Lord, why did you wait so long? But one of those little girl, she's probably 35. She came over yesterday for tea and she was at the legacy party. And she got saved about a year and a half ago through a Zoom Bible study, because that's when we were doing Zoom Bible studies. And what a delight to see her growth. But I'm just saying that, I guess I'm not sure I'm answering your question. I would say just, one thing I learned from another mentor is that when she had small children, she would say, Sue, I would write my to-do list every day. She's a lot more organized than I am. And she would say, and then God would interrupt my to-do list. And then I would just say, oh, that's not an interruption. That's really what God's to-do list was for me for that day. And so whether you're organized or not, most women know what's going to happen that day, or they think they do, because we are women of control. That's part of our who we are. We keep the family running, but we can't hold on to the reins too tightly. And that will be a great heritage for your husband, for your children as they grow older, that mom backed off when she needed to back off. Why? Because she trusted God more than she trusted herself.
That's huge, Sue.
That's huge.
You're preaching to the choir right here. I had to learn that the hard way. And even now, I mean, it's become more of a discipline for me to do that, because I am definitely a running that
control freak
personality. But, and I used to get very frustrated and disappointed when those things were not checked off my list. But it is interesting when you shift your perspective to say, okay, well, this disruption happened because this is really the priority. Whether or not you're seeing it, it's a priority for a bigger reason outside of what you're thinking or whatever the case is. And so it is interesting once you're able to do that and see that, it does become a little bit easier. No, yes, like you said, I mean, let's be realistic here. Do I still get frustrated when all the things don't get checked off? I'm a list maker. It's just something that I do just to keep my background chatter in my mind organized, but it's not nearly as stressful as it used to be. And I think because I have treated it in the way that you are presenting it today, that, okay, if it's not happening, then my will isn't happening, then, you know, maybe I need to take a pause here and just understand that there's a reason for that. And it might not have anything to do with me. And isn't that interesting how, you know, when we try to run the show, it's like, what? It doesn't have anything to do with my list. That doesn't seem right, but it is so true. And I do think also to your point, when you were talking earlier, even about just legacy and the connection and all of that, and encouraging people. I think as women, we overthink things and the way that they should look. And so to encourage somebody, we may make it like bigger than it needs to be, but still create that, you know, I mean, how easy really is it to have a mentor or make a point of gleaning from somebody that, I mean, you can word it however you want to, if it seems less intimidating to say, oh my gosh, how am I going to go get a mentor? But basically it's just gleaning from somebody who you feel like has more wisdom in areas where you want to thrive better in. And I think it's just the intentionality behind it, but I don't think it has to be some overcomplicated, overwhelming, like, oh gosh, I could never do that. I think sometimes we, and I love, because you mentioned this a few times, I've seen it in your writing, I've heard you podcast about it, is sometimes we just miss those opportunities. We get in our own way. And so I think that a lot of times these women or whoever your mentor is, I think a lot of times we miss it because we feel like it doesn't look like the way it should, or we would expect it to. And so we miss that opportunity. And I would imagine that you've experienced that as well, or seen that as well with women especially, is that we just, I don't know why we do that, but we have that tendency to overcomplicate things.
Oh, totally. Part of it is a control thing. Part of it is because we're smart women and we know how things should go, right?
Right.
And so we have a preconceived idea, and the only conceived idea we need is to have an accurate view of the characteristics of God and an accurate view of ourselves. He is all, we are nothing. And so when we trip up, why feel so shame? Of course, we're going to trip up. You know, we carry this big shame bag around us. When God says, I sent my son to the cross to die for that shame, would you let go?
Right.
You know, that's shameful. That makes me ashamed just having done that, right? So we can double it up. One thing I like to say is that my to-do list at the very first, since you mentioned to-do list and so did I, number one on my to-do list, and now I've printed these now and I sell them when I speak. The first one is relate well with God on every day. Mm-hmm. Every day, no matter what that looks like. Again, this is not a podcast about how to have your quiet time, but that is the main thing, right? So the first one on your day is relate well with God. Number two, everything else, everything else. Mm-hmm. So it is a matter of priority. It's not a matter of how, of a certain way to do it.
Right.
But it's a matter of priority. And I think God has said from the very beginning, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So from the very beginning, he says, look, I'm it. And if you are floundering in any way, I have said in James, ask for wisdom. I mean, my kids are floundering all sorts of ways right now. And I was just visiting my brother, who's quite a bit older. And he was just saying, as a matter of course, well, every day I pray for wisdom. And so I wrote my girls, Uncle Hyatt, 78 years old, prays for wisdom every day still.
Right.
So, and they know and love Uncle Hyatt, and they get irritated by him too at times, but they still know and love him.
Right.
And I, you know, this is modeling, that's mentoring two spaces over. They don't spend a lot of time with Uncle Hyatt. It's in a different area of the state. Another thing is just last week, God is so good about reminding me of who he is. I meet regularly with one neighbor who just got saved, a different one that I met with yesterday. And she had to cancel at the last minute. And I thought, fine, I have an afternoon now. I have spent more time doing other things. Right within 10 minutes, another neighbor going through a horrible divorce said, can we meet right now? I need prayer. Mm-hmm. I said, well, yeah, I can. You know, so mm-hmm. I just walked up there and talked for like an hour and a half. And then I was going to meet with the original gal, the next day. And she had come over, or was coming over. And the second gal said, can we go do something? I said, no, now I'm meeting with the gal I was supposed to meet with. And she just laughed. But see, God rearranged that.
Mm-hmm.
God rearranged it. And so if we are trusting God, which is what you talk about,
right. Then
we don't really need to worry about our to-do list. I also like to say, you don't sit on the curb and wait for Jesus' return. You know, you don't do nothing.
Right.
You plan.
Right.
I mean, the Proverbs say that you plan your day and then you wait for God to interrupt it in his blessed way. And that's called trust. Years ago, my girls were home. We were listening to a sermon. Our pastor rarely does topical, but he was actually doing one on New Year's resolutions because it was the first Sunday of the year. And I thought to myself, I need to make a New Year's resolution. And so we went out for brunch afterwards. I go, girls, your grandmother, I know you loved her, my mother who was in glory. She would say things like, do you kids want some unasked for motherly advice? And we would groan and grouse and we go, no, we don't. Because after a while we learned to say no. She would say, well, I'm going to give it to you anyway. And I said, it was funny, but it was also irritating and sometimes off-putting. And, but sometimes wise too. So you kind of want to keep the wisdom there. So right. I said, so girls, I'm no longer going to give you advice. That's a big statement. Unless you ask. And so like within an hour, I was telling my daughter, if you would come here for your haircut instead of San Francisco, you would save about $75. And her boyfriend looked at me and said, it's only been an hour, Sue. I think God wants us to use our gifts for him, but hold them loosely.
I love the wisdom piece, especially with kids. It is hard, right? Because we want to impart wisdom gained that we've just had through our own hardship and experience. And of course, we don't want them to fall into those same traps. And of course, we also know that they're going to have to do certain things and figure it out the hard way. But right. I feel like, and I try to tell my kids when I'm imparting the, unasked wisdom, is that the goal though in doing that is, so maybe you don't have to have as many hangups or trip ups as I had. And that would be your goal someday if you choose to have kids and whatnot. You know what I mean? Is that, of course, you don't want to see everybody having to repeat the same negative cycles if it's not necessary. And so, but that is interesting. And, you know, they have to come to it on their own when they want it. But no, I haven't actually made that statement, Sue. So I give you a lot of credit. Maybe I need to wait like 20 more years, but I have not even remotely thought of, I'm not going to give any unasked.
Well, it depends on their ages, of course. And mine are all in their 20s and early 30s. And
yeah,
it's about time. I mean, that was 3 or 4 years ago, but even so, I'm still now I'll even say, do you want me to give you my opinion? And they do until I cross the line and
yeah.
I keep going and they, okay, mom, I go, okay. You know, because, and just recently I texted my daughter and she's in New York, by the way, right now. Mm. And I said, I took pictures of a book I'm reading and I said, I said, this is talking about a wilderness experience and I've been in wilderness experiences and I've now able to see what I've learned through them. And I think that's what you're going through. So that wasn't so much advice as it was a comfort. Mm. I was hoping and a time of reflection for her without me saying, don't worry, God's got this, because it sounds so trite.
Right.
And she just wrote back, thanks, mom. So we haven't discussed it. But I mean, it's an honor and a privilege to be a mother, but it is the hardest job in the world. So because we have to trust God. My I have a dear friend, Bonnie, who was one of those, what do you call them when they're in on the births of all your children.
So, oh, like a midwife or doula.
Yeah. So she did that for me. She just loved doing it. And I went in on the birth of her last child and then I almost fainted. So that is just not my thing, right? I'm married to a doctor, but I faint at the sight of whatever. And, but anyway, so she was telling me the other day, cause she was talking about some of the hard things with her grown kids. And she goes, Sue, I just keep telling God that I gave my kids to him when they were born and I'm not taking them back. And I thought, what a true statement. Mm. And we moms, we need to, this is why we do podcasts and have Bible studies and do coffee and wine nights or whatever we do, so that we not just commiserate, but that we relift our children back to the greatest father that they could ever have.
Yeah.
I think to encourage your listeners about mentoring, basically, that's what mentoring is. It's reminding someone what they already knew. And Peter talks about that. Let me remind you. And Moses said, you need to recall, you need to remember how God led us through the wilderness and got us through the Red Sea. And we're people, we're a forgetful people. And so mentoring is basically coming alongside someone and reminding them who they are and who God is. And it doesn't have to be tricky. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a seminary trained professor. You don't even have to have read your book or mine. You just have to know God and teach someone else what you know about God and remind them who they are in Jesus. And I do have a little setup in the book. The point is that you just need a little tool in your hand to give you the courage.
Yeah.
And so the tool just says, what do you say on the first time you meet? And you ask them, where is it that you want to grow? And let's just choose one aspect of that. And let's, the next time we meet, let's talk about strategies to help you reach that goal. Mm. That's it.
That's great though. And that's huge. And that's what I mean. Like, we overcomplicate things, but what a simple but impactful tool to have when you are trying to do something that maybe does not feel like a natural, like, how do I go about doing this? Some people have a natural ability to just go up to somebody and say, hey, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing. Could we go to coffee and talk? And some people don't. It's more intimidating, and that's just what it is. And what a great opportunity for them to still be able to have something in their hand, like you said, and kind of set them up for that same mentorship relationship, however it ends up playing out. But Sue, I could talk to you all day because I feel like you are just a wealth of information and wisdom for me personally. Before we wrap this up, I do want you to share a few different things with the listeners. Sue has multiple books. There's Come to My Table, and then there's Hospitality 101.
Yeah, that's the Bible study based on it. So it's about God's hospitality, our hospitality, and how when we open our homes, we are really reflecting God's heart.
Right. And then you have a table mentoring.
That's a practical workbook on how to mentor and why we should.
Okay. And then the ultimate guide to stimulating table talk, which I love.
Oh yeah. That's the bestseller. Everybody wants to know, what am I going to say once they come to my table? Yeah. And see how to teach your children to ask questions of adults as well as their peers. My kids knew that they had always had to take a turn when we had company of what question they had planned to ask our company. And it was good for the company and it was good for my kids. They were mentored by people who came into the, so, and then I do lots of women's socials in my backyard or in the house. And I always have two questions, and it's to get the conversation to a deeper level.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that conversation, the table talk, first of all, for kids, especially, my gosh, especially nowadays, when kids, I feel like, just have a harder time communicating because everything is so much on social media or phones, they are so uncomfortable and awkward with face-to-face communication. I mean, I feel like my kids just are making, I mean, my youngest, she's 16, but she's experienced enough of the communication and face-to-face that I think she'll be okay. But I think there's a lot of kids, I mean, I see a lot of kids that communication, is so awkward and uncomfortable for them. It's almost, it pains them to do it because they don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I love that. And I think that is a great thing to really incorporate. And again, one of the things that I love about your ministry, and I really want to kind of finish this conversation with, is that if you were doing none of these things before this conversation that Sue and I have today, it's never too late to pick them up and start. And so that's the one thing I love about all of your resources, all of your books, is that it's a welcomed start, and you're kind of setting people up for success no matter where they are in their journey. It doesn't really matter. You can be intentional today and do that. And so I know you also have a free resource. So tell the listeners before we wrap this up, where they can connect with you, if you have anything, speaking engagements or anything else coming up that they should be on the lookout for, and how they can stay in touch.
Thank you so much, first of all, for having me. You're a gracious host, and you know how to ask good questions, which I appreciate. I wanted to add that my children now will go, Mom, I didn't have very good time at that party because no one asked me any questions. They're so good at asking questions that no one asked them back. And so that is something that is trained, because I have an extreme introvert for one of my daughters who suffers from anxiety. Mm-hmm. But if you give her a job at the beginning of a large gathering, that makes her feel so much better. And also I will assign people to other people to guests, so they know how to reach out. We just had this Jewish couple come to my 70th party that we met on a cruise, right? And they came all the way up from Southern California. So I noticed at different times that each of my daughters would go over and chat with them to make them feel more comfortable, because they knew no one except for Mark and myself. So you're really actually emboldening, to use your word, you're giving your children and even your husband tools that will help them be more successful and feel better about themselves, as well as they're used for the kingdom and listening to other people. So you can find me at welcomeheart.com. I'd love to invite your audience to join my hospitality free Facebook group. If you're on Facebook, it's called Welcome Heart, Welcome Home. I have lots of free resources. The one I'm offering today is a recipe and also a prayer for a hospitable heart, because some of us don't have that. And then also you do get, I'm so glad that you talked about mentoring, because you get free copies of some mentoring worksheets that I normally sell. Okay. So just download those, and I would love to speak at your church or your retreat, and I'll fly anywhere, but you do have to pay me for that.
I think you're worth the money, Sue. You're worth
Thank you so much. I'm not speaking until September, and it'll be local, so I won't bother telling your group about that. But yeah, happy to talk to anybody about that. And Amy, thank you so much for your ministry.
Thank you.
Well, friend, that's it for me today. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, please consider rating, reviewing, or subscribing to the Life on Purpose podcast so I can continue spreading encouragement and confidence. And if you haven't already, I would love if you would grab a copy of our book, Embolden. Embolden is an encouragement journal that I co-wrote with my oldest daughter, and its purpose is to meet women where they are today, but to not leave them there. So until next time, keep living your life on purpose, and God bless.